During the Doshot Aran, we're up to the seventh speech, page Kuftet Vav in the Machon Shalem edition, Reish Samach Beis in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. The Ran had said that we are commanded in the Torah to go with the rabbinic interpretation of the Torah and the rabbinic institutions of the Torah. And then he discussed then why is it that we're lenient in rabbinics if every rabbinic mitzvah is also a biblical mitzvah. And he said that's because that was included in the institution of the rabbinic mitzvot. And then he said, you might ask me, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Shabbos that we make a blessing over lighting Hanukkah candles, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, and the Talmud asks, how could you say he commanded us? He didn't command us to light Hanukkah candles. So the Talmud gives two answers. Rav Ivya says, yeah, well, he said, lo tasur, do not waver from their teachings. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, you know it from the verse, shal avicha v'yageidcha, at the end of the Torah it says, ask your forefathers, they'll tell you. So that certainly doesn't seem to be a derivation. I'm telling you, there's a biblical obligation to listen to the rabbis. Yet when the Talmud itself questions, why do we have to listen to them? How could we say in the blessing, God commanded us? So the Talmud gives us verses that seem to be in asmachta. They don't seem to be a real derivation. So the Ran gave us a phenomenal interpretation of that piece of Talmud. And he says, well, the Talmud wasn't talking about all rabbinic mitzvos. It was only talking about lighting Hanukkah candles. Rav Ivya felt that just like all institutions are leaning on that verse of Lo Tasur, so too the new mitzvot that they invented, which are very few, like Ner Chanukah, they stem from that commandment itself. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, no, the biblical obligation, do not waver from what they said, that's a reference to their prohibitions, their rulings, their siyogim, when they institute something to protect you from transgressing the Torah, obviously their interpretation of the Torah, but it's all revolving around the Torah. Whatever the rabbis do that revolves around the Torah, I have to listen to them biblically because of that pasuk. But lighting Hanukkah candles has nothing to do with the Torah. That's a rabbinic institution. So there, you can't tell me I'm obligated to listen to them because of that same verse of Lo Tasur. And that's why Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, the root for that is what it says in the end of the Torah, go ask your forefathers, they'll tell you. Ve'hatam, lefi she'advarim she'em mosifim b'mitzvot ha'Torah atzman, because they're additions. When the rabbis come and institute, wash your hands, netilas yadayim, make an eruv, or light Hanukkah candles. So that is ke'en perush haTorah hu shem zal omrim kol tzemer vepishtim hem kilayim choshvut umlacha aval kshomrim adliku ner Chanukah en adam echol asmicho al ze'alav b'shum inyan. When it comes to a mitzvah within the Torah, so then I treat it like their interpretation of the Torah. Just like they're obligated to interpret the Torah, so too they can make the protecting fences around the mitzvah of the Torah. They tell you, I don't want you to touch a pen on Shabbos because the Torah tells you not to write. So there I'm obligated to listen to them from the biblical commandment of Lo Tasur because it revolves around the biblical commandment. I don't want you to tell a non-Jew to do work on Shabbos because you're not allowed to do work on Shabbos. I have to listen to them biblically because it revolves around the biblical commandment. But when they come and tell me, I want you to light Hanukkah candles, that has nothing to do with anything biblical. So then you can't take it from that commandment. Don't waver from rabbinic interpretations of Torah. Yes?
If we say, if we ascertain that Hanukkah candle lighting is purely rabbinic, then how can we say that's the only mitzvah which we perform in our dream and in our dream?
Maybe we'll get to then Thursday, 2 weeks from now. It's a long answer. Maral has a nice piece on that.
You could understand about kashrut from
that's a modern invention. Okay, it deserves an answer, but a long answer. And the answer is online. And the answer, by the way, also deals with the idea of tradition, rabbinic institutions, and conservative and reform approaches to the Torah. It's all online. It's in the question. It should be in the question and answer sessions on 123torah.com. Look up Hanukkah. Hanukkah.
Not really true.
What?
Not really true.
I didn't say what I said. I said it's long, and you have to see over there.
We said it has to do with conservative reform.
Right, I did. But I'm not going into it now, it's too long. She'en ze ba bichlal ha-katuv she'amar ki yipalei mimecha davar la-mishpat. The Ran says, look at the context. You want to understand when the Torah says don't waver from what the rabbis tell you? Well, what does it say beforehand? It says, you have a law in Torah when you're in doubt. You're not sure how to interpret the law. Go up to the rabbis in the temple, go up to the high court, they'll answer you, and then the Torah says that line, do not waver from what they said. So what's the Torah talking about? When they tell you something that pertains to the Torah, not when they make their own institution. So then, when the Torah tells us at the end of the Torah, go ask your forefathers, they'll teach you. That's telling you a general rule. Listen to your elders. Elders meaning over here, the elders who are worthy of teaching. But when it comes to the rabbinic institutions that are within the mitzvahs of the Torah, then they are encompassed by that commandment, do not waver. The Ran continues with his position. If one were to transgress the rabbinic institution of Shabbos, if one were to ask a non-Jew to do work on his behalf of Shabbos, it's rabbinic, says the Ran, it's rabbinic, and yet he is in transgression of the biblical obligation to adhere to the rabbinic institutions. Ki ikar haTorah vegodel schara hu b'ma sheigzuru hachamim v'itaknu b'ma she'en lo smach min haTorah. One of the fundamental principles of the Torah, says the Ran, when it comes to you getting wages for adhering to the Torah, it is not a sterile Torah. The Torah has interpreters. God gave the Torah and said, you have to adhere to the Torah according to the tradition that you'll get from the rabbis who are passing on the tradition. And the Ran over here says a scary point. He says, you want to know the essence of Torah, the essence of sahar, of the wages for adhering to the Torah? It's adhering to the Torah with tradition. Now, this seems to be a bombshell, but really it isn't. Because if you're not going to go with tradition, then you don't have anything. What does it mean, take palm branches on Sukkot? So any palm branches, right? What does it mean, take a beautiful fruit on Sukkot? Let me take a beautiful lemon, a beautiful apple. It doesn't say in Esrog. It says pre Eitz Hadar. You have no Judaism. It says sit under shade on the holiday of Sukkot. Okay, maybe we should sit in the shade of a house. Maybe we should sit in the shade of trees. But Sukkot Teshuvah, what does Sukkot mean? Shade. You don't have rabbinic tradition. You don't have anything. Put an ornament between your eyes. So maybe we should all go like the Hindus and put a little red mark in between our eyes. It doesn't say what tefillin are. It says totafot. Totafot was a jewel that women wore on their forehead. It says vayulitotafot. Wear a jewel beinenecha, between your eyes. Without rabbinic tradition, you have nothing.
But it says vahayul letotafot.
They should be.
Talking about putting totafot. It's something else vahayul letotafot.
Okay, very nice. Very nice. Okay, so maybe that red mark. Maybe that red mark.
Vahayul totafot.
Okay, so whatever it is should be a jewel between your eyes. Okay, so something should be a jewel. Okay. Without rabbinic tradition, you have nothing. You don't have a Torah. So he says you want the essence of Torah. So that's the essence of Torah. Shekach hi amaskana beperk hanizakin. The Talmud discusses in Gittin, in a chapter called Hanizakin, Amru Sham, the Talmud says there, Amar Rabbi Elazar, okay, we're opening another Pandora's box, the beautiful approach of the Rishonim, where from one massive topic, they open up another massive topic, and another massive topic. So we'll just read the beginning, and we'll start here again next week, Bezrat Hashem. There's a passage in the Talmud that at first glance seems ridiculous. The Talmud says the following. Rabbi Elazar, which was a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar taught, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, Torah rov bichtav umiyut ba'al peh. Most of Torah is written, and there's a minimum amount that's in the oral tradition, shenemar echtov lo rubei torotai. The verse says, I will write for them the majority of my Torah. Really, Rabbi Elazar, look at this. And look at this. One volume Tanakh, 22 volumes oral tradition. What's Rabbi Elazar saying? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and then the Talmud does something unusual. It brings his Rabbi Yochanan, and says, Rov al peh umiyut bichtav. No, that's not right. The majority of Torah is the oral tradition, and the minimum amount of Torah is the written law. Shenemar ki al peh advarim ha'ile. God says you will adhere based on the oral tradition of these words. So then the Talmud asks, V'aktiv echtov lo rubei Torotai, but what about the verse Rabbi Elazar quoted? It does say, I will write the majority of my Torah. Answers the Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan learned that that verse was a question. You have to read that with a question mark at the end of the verse. Hahu etmu akamitama. The verse is questioning, V'chi echtov lo rubei Torotai. V'alok mozal nechshavu. Rabbi Yochanan, when he read that verse, he said, the verse is to be read with a question mark at the end. Do you think I could write for you the majority of my Torah? That's going to be a stranger to you. You're not going to be able to get it that way. So what's going on here? How could Rabbi Elazar say such a far-out opinion? Most of the Torah is written. He didn't own a shas. He learned by Rabbi Yochanan. So how could they have such an argument? Go count the letters. Go count the laws. Isn't it obvious that you have about 500 to 1,000 times, maybe even more, oral law than written law? What is Rabbi Elazar talking about? So this is where we'll pick up Ezrat Hashem next week.